from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Back for another weekend edition. Week away from the opening of firearm deer season here in Michigan. The holy time for many. Schools shut down in northern Michigan. I remember GM used to take off like a week for deer hunting. You guys could either have Christmas or you could take off the opener of firearm deer season. They took firearm deer season, which I don't know what that says about Michigan, but we like our hunting. Spent some time in the tree stand with my Strother SHO this week. Nothing yet. Haven't been able to really get that shot yet. Had a couple opportunities on some smaller deer, but I'm waiting. So thanks to Strother Archery. Thanks to Lucky Buck, the reason the deer have been coming in all year. Also, thanks to our friends who we will be joining next week at the Wacoosta Buck Poll in Grand Ledge / Wacoosta, Michigan, next Saturday, November 15th. I will be out there starting at 4 o'clock. Lots of great prizes, lots of great fun at the Wacoosta General Store and the General's Meat Market and Smokehouse. So we'll be looking forward to seeing everybody there. Bring your buck out, bring your doe, and we'll have fun. But if you want to really help, you got enough venison, or maybe you just want to pay it forward a little bit, we have my friend Neil Easterbrook from Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger again with me here on the show. And this is something we talk about every year. We're doing it again a week ahead of time for the firearm deer opener. And Neil, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Grant. How are you?
Doing well. Last year, I see you guys, the numbers have been rising. The donations of venison to get people good quality meat that they may not be able to afford any other way are on the rise, and I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, the DNR has been trying to reduce the population of deer in certain areas, and they've been successful at doing that. So our numbers have leveled out, but as we grow and as we get our word out there, through programs like yours, more people are becoming aware of what we do, and that's why I give credit for the donations increasing.
Well, it's something, it's kind of incumbent upon us, if we have the opportunity to convey the information, to do so, to get the word out, because prior to the show, I did not know about Sportsman Against Hunger. Last year, I was so fortunate, so blessed. I drew a Michigan elk tag, took a Michigan bull, and then the deer hunting, the pressure was off. I took a really nice big doe and donated to Sportsman Against Hunger. And man, I've been trying to do that for years, and it felt really good. And I'm looking forward to doing it again this year.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. That's kind of how I got started in the whole thing. Gosh, 20 some years ago, it was donating that first deer, and the good feeling and the joy that made me feel to actually see. I actually got the opportunity to go to the soup kitchen in Detroit and actually watched them ladle up the meals of stew to the line of people who desperately needed it. And that's what it was for me. It's just a rewarding feeling of being able to do something for others. And it's not something new. Hunters have been doing this since the beginning of time. The successful hunters would come back to the camp or the tribe and share their food with those who, weren't able to get something. So it's nothing new. It's just we're trying to do it a little more organized.
Well, and that's just it. And it takes people like us, people that understand the benefits of hunting, not sit back and point fingers at other people, but that understand the benefits of hunting, that share this. Because, look, we're giving the opportunity for the best possible food out there. Free range, if you want to go into the GMO-free realm of things, then fine. Even though they may be GMO, the deer may be eating GMO foods, but you know what? From our hands directly to someone who needs it, it's healthier.
Yeah, it's lower in fat, it's higher in protein, and it's really something that these charities and soup kitchens don't get donated. Meat is a very prized commodity to these charities, and they just don't have it available. So by us being able, they have Salvation Army statistic, 80% of their food budget was going to buying meat. Now, if we can replace that, and we can replace that meat with our venison, and that frees up these funds to go to other programs such as rehab and housing and different things that people need. So our program not only helps with the food aspect and the hunger aspect, it also expands into other areas.
Speaking with Neil Easterbrook from Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger here on Wild Michigan, our website with a link to Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger is wildmichiganradio.com. It's not a difficult process. I mean, it doesn't matter, buck or doe. If you go to the website, sportsmanagainsthunger.org, and find a processor. What do we have to do to get it to that processor? I mean, do we need to skin it out, quarter it out? What do we need to do?
Just field dressed. And we do ask that people do a thorough job at field dressing the deer. And then you simply just drop it at one of our participating processors, and that's it. And you walk away, and then we take care of it from there. We actually pay the processor for his services. They give us a reduced price, but then that meat goes directly from the processor directly to the charity.
Now, how many places around Michigan are you serving with this meat?
Durant, I couldn't tell you because there's so many. Because a lot of this meat goes to the food bank network, and so we may have 2,000 pounds that goes to the Eastern Michigan Food Bank, and then they distribute it through, dozens of different charities throughout their network. So it's hard for me to put a number on exactly how many charities there are, but we are providing about, like last year, about 150,000 to 200,000 meals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of meals for people who otherwise would not get a healthy protein that is so needed in our diets.
Yep, exactly.
And again, this is so people understand, it's not, look, we're not having steak dinners at the homeless shelter. It's ground into venison burger and then distributed because that is the most useful form of the meat.
Yeah. We generally, to the big soup kitchens, we provide it in, larger 10-pound ground packages. They make it in the stews and spaghettis. Anything you would add hamburger to, they make it for their masses that need to eat. And we also do 1-pound, 2-pound packages that go out to individuals. If it's a charity that hands out parcels of food, they'll throw in a pound or two of the venison that the people pick up when they come to get some food.
I don't see anybody complaining about venison ever.
No. they're knocking on our door trying to get it. I wish we had more.
No, absolutely. And do you have a rough estimate at the amount of pounds you guys took in last year?
Yeah, we've been steady now around 30,000, 35,000, creeping up maybe a little bit here and there. And again, we don't get all that. We don't know all that. That's just what we do. Mm-hmm. There's so many hunters out there who just, they hunt up in an area and they just stop by Farmer Joe's house because they know he needs some meat. He needs some help, or somebody down the street that they need to help. So it happens a lot. But through our organization, we're documented about 35,000 pounds.
And that's, again, that's a great amount of help going out to people around Michigan that, just because some of us may be working, others in the state aren't, need the assistance. And maybe they may be afraid to ask. They may be afraid to ask for a little help.
Absolutely. It's a pride thing. There's a lot of people who won't ask for help. But if they want the help, I guess we're there for them. So.
Neil Easterbrook is our guest here, sportsmanagainsthunger.org. The link is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Neil, I want to talk to you a little bit in the next segment, if you don't mind.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, hang on. We're going to talk more about how you can get involved. Very simple to find a processor. sportsmanagainsthunger.org. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can donate. I'm looking to do so again this year. It's crunch time, I know, for bow season, but I really want to get something out to these kitchens to get some people fed. We're going to talk more with Neil Easterbrook, Sportsman Against Hunger, here next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan. Cross the line at an hour to time in a state.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. Find out where we're going to be, like the Buck Poll coming up next Saturday, the opening day of firearm deer season starting at 4 o'clock. The Wacoosta General Store, Wacoosta Road, Grand Ledge, Michigan. Going to be a fun time. Had a great time. Didn't get a ton of deer last year. Had about a 15, 20 deer last year. But a lot of prizes. A lot of prizes handed out. And maybe this year, some of them can get donated to Sportsmen Against Hunger. That website, sportsmenagainsthunger.org. Neil Easterbrook joins us here on the show. Enrolled House Bill number 5196, the Food Law of 2000. And I'm just going to read a quick section of it. Charitable, religious, fraternal, or other nonprofit organization that prepares or serves wild game in connection with its meetings or as part of a fundraising event, or that prepares or serves wild game to indigent persons free of charge, is not required to obtain the wild game from a department-approved source. Very important, because we know how the USDA operates, and I'm not condemning them. I know the regulations and the inspections and everything that goes into USDA inspections, but the Michigan Department of Ag licensed and inspected facilities get kind of a pass from that whole thing, Neil. They have to be, explain for a processor what they need to be to be able to give you this meat.
Well, through our organization, we only use state-licensed processors. Now, what that means is they're inspected once a year by the Michigan Department of Agriculture. And although meat being donated does not have to go through that actual process of a licensed processor, we do that due to liability issues, that we want to make sure that all of our processors have been inspected by the Department of Ag. That kind of covers us. And plus, that's in our contract with the DNR. That's also required that we use a licensed processor.
It's helpful, too, because, look, we're dealing with a lot of people's health along this process, and being able to store the carcasses at or below 41 degrees and conducting, using the first-in, first-out rotation. That eliminates a lot of possibilities of problems altogether.
Yeah, it's when we first started this many years ago, people were, saying, well, you can't feed, venison, these animals, to people out there. And at the time, the people that we're trying to help were, eating out of dumpsters, eating in the worst, possible places you could eat, and eating the worst things you could eat. So, with the way we do it, and I don't know of any instances in the last 20 some years we've been doing this that anybody's ever been ill or had ill effects of any way of any of the venison that's been donated.
That's funny. I mean, even though, granted, it's on a much smaller scale than a lot of these places that produce meat for your markets and things of that nature, you don't hear of any coli scare for venison. No venison's getting recalled for that.
No, it's that's the wonderful thing about it. I mean, we've served, you're right, we're not as big as some of the other, food manufacturers, but we serve millions of meals, millions and millions of meals, and to my knowledge, we have not had one complaint.
Well, again, helpful, and, is there a region in Michigan, do you think, that we could, help out more than another? I mean, look, there are hungry people all over the state.
Sure.
But are you seeing certain places in the state that require a bit more help?
Well, obviously, the population centers that have poverty issues are a huge demand for what we have. However, the way our program is aligned is the meat generally gets donated in the area where the processor is. Just logistically speaking, so if you were to donate your deer at the Country Smokehouse in Elmont, that meat would stay in that area. Now, we also are involved in several culling efforts through parks and airports and municipalities. And some of that bulk meat, that's generally what goes into the population centers.
Well, and again, where the most people are is probably where the greatest need is. So it's a pretty simple process. What if, we don't have the extra venison to spare, but we might want to make a cash donation. Is there a way that we can do that as well?
Yeah, the easiest way is whenever you buy your license, whether it's your hunting license, fishing license, any license you buy, whether it be online or at a retail outlet, you can donate to our organization. Actually, at the retail outlets, the clerks are supposed to ask you if you'd like to donate a dollar to Sportsmen Against Hunger. However, they don't always do that. They found that it is click the no button. They can bypass that. So if you know when you go buy your license, when you're buying it, tell them in advance, say, hey, I'd like to donate a dollar to Michigan Sportsmen Against Hunger. That's where we get most of our funding. And that dollar goes 100% to our organization. Even though the DNR facilitates it, they don't take any service charge or anything. It goes right to our organization.
Neil Easterbrook is our guest here on Wild Michigan, Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger. And I'm glad you brought that up because I know I was not asked when I bought my like 30,000 licenses this year. Even though we've been streamlined, I still bought a ton of licenses. But I wasn't asked. So if you're going out to get your deer license, your combination or your single deer license, when you get your licenses, say, hey, I wouldn't mind donating that dollar to Michigan the Sportsman Against Hunger, because I'll guarantee you there's a lot of folks that haven't bought their licenses yet. And on November 14th, we'll be lining up the Meyer or the Gander Mountain or wherever to get their license. And it doesn't hurt to give a buck.
No, and we understand when there's a lineup at Myers on November 14th that they don't may not ask that question. But, you know, we do ask. It used to be a little more difficult that the store clerk had to back up a couple pages, then ask the hunter what amount they'd like to donate. But we really streamlined it and simplified it by just asking the question, would you like to donate $1, yes or no? They click the yes button. It goes onto your receipt or however you're paying for it with credit card or cash. Just adds it onto your transaction, and that dollar goes directly to us.
All right, and, you know, the financial contributions, just as good, because it helps pay the processors that take your donation of venison to feed hungry people here in Michigan. There's a lot of people that you guys partner with as well. MUCC, our good friend Drew Youngdyke, will be on with us here in a little bit. The folks at QDMA, Michigan Department of Natural Resources, Michigan Bowhunters Association, Food Bank Council of Michigan. I'm going off your list here. Mm-hmm. There are tons of people on there.
Yeah, well, when we started this, I kind of thought that, you know what, some of the other organizations started doing their own programs too, and we kind of decided that, you know what, instead of each having our own Sportsmen Against Hunger, Hunters Against Hunger, you know, all different organizations, that we would just pool under one umbrella and combine our efforts to have one, you know, consolidated program here in Michigan. And that's been great. It's been really nice working with all the other outdoor organizations and non-outdoor organizations in this effort.
No, and I, again, Neil, I applaud you for your effort, and I hope folks remember to, you know, have them check that box for the $1 for Michigan Sportsmen Against Hunger. And also, please join us at the website so you can find all the information out through a link at wildmichiganradio.com. Neil, best of luck to you. Congrats on that fall turkey. We got to mention that. And and again, if you've got the extra venison, folks, please give these guys a hand. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, excuse me, on the Michigan Talk Network. Thanks to Neil Easterbrook from Michigan Sportsmen Against Hunger. You can donate your venison, you can go donate your cash, or you can have them check that, yes, I'll donate $1 from my hunting license at the retailer where you purchase your licenses from, to ensure that people get some quality, healthy food that may be in need. This year, again, we've been having them on the show for as long as we've been doing the show, and it's very important that we get that information out to everyone. A gentleman friend, if you will, that, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to him off air saying, you know, we don't talk to you, but once in a great while, but now you've been on twice in 2 weeks. So Drew Youngdyke from MUCC is back. The post-election show, let's call it that. Drew, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
Let's talk post-election show. We had proposals one and two, both lost. We kind of knew it was going to happen, but I was happy to see what appeared to be an informed opinion on one of the proposals. And let's look at proposal one about the wolf hunt. It basically is what that's become.
Right, and that was the most clear proposal as far as when people went into the ballot box, when they read it, they actually understood the summary. Now, keep in mind, the summary isn't the actual legislation. The summary is what the Bureau of Elections wrote up as a summary, and frankly, on proposal two, nobody understood that summary. But, you know, we knew it was very likely that we wouldn't win either of them. Just the politics of HSUS spending $2 million that we couldn't possibly match. As well as, let's face it, we already won this issue in August, so we weren't going to put any money into something that didn't have any legal effect to begin with. But it was interesting to see on Proposal 1 that we actually won 52 out of 83 counties. We won the majority of counties in Michigan, including every county in the UP, where they actually have to deal with wolves and understand the issue, as well as most of the rural counties in southern Michigan, where people understand kind of hunting and farming in general.
Now, look, here's where we knew we educated people, or we had people that were understanding of hunting and know the science behind it, more than just, you know, the population issue. But we have a more informed public in these rural areas. And I apologize, that is a tough word for these lips to say. But when you have the majority of populations in other counties that this is not their thing, if you will, it tends to get skewed a little bit. But again, by county, the majority proved.
Right. We had the majority of counties, of course. The majority of the population is in those very few southern Michigan urban centers where they don't understand these issues and, you know, we're bombarded by HSUS's ad blitz. We expected that. You know, we weren't going to try to counter that ad blitz because we're saving our money for the next time HSUS comes back and attacks another hunting right, because we've already won this fight over wolf hunting through the passage of the initiative back in August.
You know, and that's funny, too. Is it wrong for me to want to thank the HSUS for putting that kind of money into our economy?
you know, for HSUS, for them to spend $2 million, that's nothing to them.
I know, but to Michigan, that's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, you know, that definitely was probably good for the media outlets, and I understand you're a media outlet too, so, you know, it probably benefited your general industry there. But, you know, what it showed me is exactly where we need to educate the public on what hunting and fishing and conservation is and how it's connected. And that's what that Michigan Wildlife Council is going to do. That's what they're using that $1 surcharge on the license for. It's to educate the non-hunting urban public in Michigan in those areas about what hunting and conservation really means.
Now, back in August, and you brought this to light a little bit ago, Scientific Fish and Wildlife Conservation Act, which waived hunting and fishing license fees for active military members, allocated $1 million in funding to fight Asian carp, and perhaps more importantly, and I'm reading this, protected the NRC's ability to designate game species. Now, we only got $1 million in funding to fight Asian carp, and HSUS spent twice that to promote a non-hunting agenda.
That's right. And another thing that's important to remember about the Scientific Fish and Wildlife Conservation Act is those are kind of some of the detail points. But on the larger scope, it also transferred fisheries orders to the NRC as well. And that's how that appropriation was tied in. It's not just for Asian carp, it's for aquatic invasive species, because that's necessary to protect those fisheries. But, you know, the Scientific Fish and Wildlife Conservation Act, it included that $1 million. That's going to be used for rapid response activities. It's not going to close down the Chicago locks or anything like that.
No, that's what something we can only dream of. In a utopian society, that would happen, and Illinois would actually have to listen to anything that anybody says.
Right.
But that's, again, being proven elsewhere that Illinois doesn't listen. Drew Youngdyke, I'm sorry, dude. I just got done doing a four-hour political show, And now I have to do this. So I'm trying not to be terribly political here, although it kind of falls under that umbrella.
Well, look, politics and getting involved in defending our hunting rights, and whether that means voting or volunteering or collecting a signature or showing up at a rally, that's now part of hunting and fishing. As long as HSUS is out there trying to attack our hunting rights through the political process, then part of hunting and fishing is now engaging in that political process to protect those rights.
Now, we talked, speaking with Drew Youngdyke from MUCC, Public Relations Manager. Drew, would we look at the overall numbers of Proposal 1, how the turnout for a yes versus no, whatever the amount, when you add the total numbers up and you look at Proposal 2, how it's just kind of languish, just kind of laying there like nobody paid any attention. But like you said, it was like me reading Braille. I see fully. But
yeah, and keep in mind that it's very hard to boil down a full piece of detailed legislation into 100 words and do so clearly where the general public can understand it. Frankly, that's why we usually elect legislators who can spend the time understanding what that means, and elect legislators and representatives to represent us to study those issues and make those decisions. That's why we generally don't decide very detailed pieces of legislation on a general ballot, because people just don't have the time to fully understand that, and you can't explain, you know, a 6-page piece of legislation in 100 words in a really meaningful way.
No, we have become a nation of headline readers and drawing our opinions from that, because look, it's a time issue. We have information instantly at our fingertips, and I'm supposed to decipher what this all means by just a headline.
Right. And, you know, it's been shown in multiple polls all over the country that when people are confused on a specific issue, they default to no. And I think that's what you saw. People generally, I think, understood the wolf issue, at least what the question was asking. Obviously, in the urban areas of southern Michigan, they don't understand, you know, the connection between hunting and conservation and what was actually going on with the wolves as much as they do, you know, where they actually live with them. But they understood what the question was asking. And I think you saw that, and it was 45-55. So it was defeated, you know, 55%-45%. But with Proposal 2, I think we heard from a few people a couple different things. One, they just didn't understand it, so they voted no. Two, they didn't like that middle bullet point that said that we grant the legislature sole authority to remove game species. That wasn't actually accurate. That bill did not transfer authority or grant the legislature that authority. The legislators always had that authority. We just didn't take that away and give it to the NRC.
No, it was not written well. It just wasn't, because
we had problems with the way it was written. You know, we offered suggestions in the meeting at the Bureau of Elections. They kind of took a mixture of what we offered and the DNR offered and what HSUS offered and kind of mashed them together. Didn't necessarily make sense. But also, there are a lot of people that thought, kind of like in Proposal G, if you voted on one, you couldn't vote on two. You can only do one or the other.
All right, hold that thought. Drew Youngdyke, MUCC, is joining us for a follow-up on Proposals 1 and 2 here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Wyson, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wyson, love that guy. Almost that time. We are looking 1 week away from the opening of the Orange Army taking the woods. I don't mind. I love the fact that people get out and, you know, and hunt as families, as friends, and have been doing so for many years. We posted a question on our Facebook page. If do you still go to deer camp? A lot of people still doing it. A long-standing tradition here in Michigan, even though I know private land is at a premium, people still getting together and sharing that hunt, which is awesome. And after the elections this week, some states have voted to protect hunting and fishing in state constitutions, Mississippi, Alabama, a couple of them, overwhelmingly approved amendments to their state constitutions that protect the right to hunt and fish. Supporters of the proposal say the amendments will make it harder for animal rights organizations to lobby for hunting and fishing restrictions, while others say it sends a message to the rest of the country, which I agree. Mississippi and Alabama will join 17 other states that have similar protections in their own constitution. Protected within the constitutions, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska. And I'm going through this alphabetically, but Michigan not there. Although we do have some protection. Drew, you are a bit more savvy within the law than I. A lot more, I'll just say that. What are our protections here in Michigan?
Well, we actually have the right to hunt and fish in state statute. So it's not in the Constitution, but it is in state statute. In those other states, so that have that in their constitution, that's great. But a lot of those states, to begin with, don't have the initiative and referendum process that we have. So, you know, in those other states, that's great. That's going to prevent the legislature from, you know, taking away hunting and fishing rights. However, it doesn't mean that they can't regulate hunting and fishing. And keep in mind, what each SUS usually tries to do is pick off one specific little piece of hunting. You know, it's one game species. It's one particular method or manner of take. In fact, the biggest victory across the country, I think, was actually Maine. The Maine bear hunters and conservationist biologists beat HSUS straight up, head-to-head on a ballot, where HSUS was trying to take away the right to hunt bears with bait, hounds, or traps on the ballot. And Maine beat them. And that shows they can be beaten on the ballot. In that case, of course, HSUS needed the yes vote, which is tougher to get because, as we mentioned before, when people don't understand the issue, they tend to vote no.
Now, there's a judge in Wyoming that denied a wolf management request, and their season suspension has been upheld. And that's, you know, from a couple years ago. But still, it's something that, you know, really, Wyoming back then.
Well, that was a federal judge, and it's based on Wyoming's state-specific wolf management plan.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's state-specific wolf management plan is actually the most robust and actually really the most protective of wolves of any of the states. That's why it was so kind of odd that HSUS was trying to stop it here, because frankly, our hunt was the only one that's specifically for management. Every other state that has a wolf hunt has a recreational component to it. Ours is the only one that was specifically for management purposes. HSUS didn't care. They just went through and said, try to call it the trophy hunt because they know that works better for them.
Well, it is in the verbiage. You know, as we can go across into Ontario and buy a license over the counter for hunting wolves. And don't think I didn't want to do it. But the season started like a week after we left, and it didn't really balance with my time schedule. But again, I probably, had I the cash, would have stayed an extra week.
Fear not, though. We'll have that again in the fall of 2015.
You know, I'm looking forward to it. Another management hunt here in Michigan. Now, Defend the Hunt is something we talked about last week, but, you know, now look, we don't get everybody listening to every show, and this is why we want to talk about it. Here, Defend the Hunt, a time is now, and you're already collecting hides, deer hides, at the MUCC offices. That's going to go to sale and help, you know, raise some more funds to keep us protected here.
Right, and this is a great partnership with the Michigan Trappers and Predator Callers Association. You know, they were big help on the petition drive, and they suggested this idea. And Dennis Kronk with the Trappers is really kind of the ringleader, if you will. And he's been going all over the state, working his tail off, getting these sites set up, getting the word out, getting these sites ready to go to accept the deer hides. We have a drop-off spot here in Lansing at the MUCC office. We've actually had a couple people actually drop off hides already. Later this winter, those hides will get sold for $10 to $15 a piece. That money will be used to defend hunting rights the next time HSUS comes back.
Now, if you would like more information on how to salt your hide, or you want to find out more about what this is going to, we put a little spot on our Wild Michigan TV that actually has you. Drew, if you don't mind, we swiped it from MUCC. Put it on our website.
That's great. And that's, you know, I'm just kind of the MC there. John Southworth, who's a great trapper and nuisance control guy, he's the one that shows you exactly how to salt your hide, how to store it, how to drop it off. And if you're one of those Defend the Hunt drop-off sites, or if you'd like to be, 25% of the proceeds from the hide is going back to the drop-off location. So if you own a hardware store or a business, we're always looking for places where people can drop off those hides, that video shows you exactly what to do.
No, it's pretty cool. I was just watching it here on the Wild Michigan radio.com. We put a little spot on there called Wild Michigan TV, and we rotate some things out there. But there is a link on our website to go to Defend the Hunt, and you can be a part of that as well. Now, as we come up into 2015, what is going on with MUCC?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, one thing that we're really involved in is Beyond the Ground Wildlife Habitat Program. This is where we do kind of weekend warrior wildlife habitat improvement projects. We go out on public land in Michigan, and we improve habitat for game species. And nobody else is doing this. There's a lot of groups that are doing invasive species removal, and that's important. It needs to be done. We're actually getting teams of volunteers, 15 to 20 to 30, you know, people on a weekend, on a Saturday, going out to a local game area and, you know, running chainsaw, planting trees, specifically to make that habitat better for game animals that we can go out and hunt later.
Now, and see, this is another thing, too. If you know people that are unaware of what hunting is or what we as sportsmen and women of Michigan do, it's not just about going on and harvesting whatever our target species is. We put a lot of money into food plots, into habitat, like Drew's talking about here, and the management. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into a year-round process to make sure we can ensure this for future generations.
That's right. And these are our hunters and anglers that are going out there. There are scout groups. They're, you know, local people that read about it in the paper. But they're going out there, and this is work that's being done through grants, and a lot of that, the funds for these projects, for the tools that we need, all that kind of stuff, comes from the wildlife habitat grants for the DNR Wildlife Division, and that comes from the hunting and fishing license sales. So they make grants out to groups to go out and do this, and we're just one of those groups that said, hey, we'll go out and do that.
Drew Youngdyke from MUCC. The website for them to find them is mucc.org. You can find out that information with John Southworth and Drew Youngdyke, the video, and how to properly get your hide ready to be donated. And it's not like a big time-consuming thing. It's like a 3.5-minute video that you can go, and it'll educate you, and it'll help put some funds into the coffers for what we're going to fight next. I mean, it's a constant battle, Drew, plain and simple.
Yeah, this isn't going to go away. HSUS isn't going away. They're probably plotting right now about what hunting right they're going to attack next. Might be, you know, bear hunting with hounds here in Michigan. It might be trapping in Michigan. They're going to go after something. We got to be ready to stop them no matter what it is. And no matter what we hunt or fish for individually, when they come back, we have to band together and stop whatever they're trying to take away, because it might not be what you do that they're trying to take away this time, but it will be next. So we all got to get together, fight them, donate your deer hide, and you know, just make sure we defend our hunting rights here in Michigan.
Again, all that information at wildmichiganradio.com. Very important. Just because it's not what you dig doesn't mean somebody else doesn't. So we all kind of have to stick together on that. And I appreciate your time as always, Drew.
Thank you, Duran.
Anytime. MUCC.org. You can find the video again on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you miss any of this interview, you can pick it up on the podcast, absolutely free, and you know, find out what else we got going on. Of course, we're going to be at the Buck Bowl coming up at the Wacoosta General Store and the General Smokehouse and Meat Market on Wacoosta Road, Grand Ledge, next Saturday, the 15th, starting at 4 p.m. We'll be out there with lots of prizes, lots of great samples of some of the jerkies out there and some of the sausages those guys make, and it'll be a good time. Thanks to our friends at Lucky Buck out of Osseo, Michigan. Freshen up your, you know, Lucky Buck sights. The attractant, that apple smell is there, and it'll help them kind of rebuild after the rut as well, which to this second, I haven't seen any activity going on. I'm not saying it's not happening, but a few windy days in the tree stand, I haven't seen a whole lot, but hopefully we'll make the folks at Strother Archery in Imlay City proud, because I've got a Wrath SHO and I've got an arrow with a deer's name on it. I'm getting antsy. Whole another hour coming your way next. Appreciate it. Thanks to Neil Easterbrook, Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger. Thanks to Drew Youngdyke, Michigan United Conservation Clubs. Links to both on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. This is Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.